So waiting for the supernatural, before I open up our Bibles, we look at some passages. I wanted to read to you, it's actually a longer excerpt from a devotional I'm reading right now. I haven't just barely got my toes in it, but it is a devotional that my sister Gina went through years ago in preparing for Advent. And so as a family, we're doing it in honor of Gina, but really it's to spend time getting ready with the Lord. And so in one of the devotionals, this one was written by Henry Nouwen. He's a proframed author. He's got a lot of good books. I read in Bible college. Good guy. But I want to read to you some excerpts from this devotional I read earlier this week. And so I know it's a lot. Hopefully I put up here because some of us, if I just talk, you kind of tune it out. But maybe if you read with me, you'll understand more. If you can read it, I know it's small. But this is what it says. It says, for many people, waiting is an awful desert. That's desert. Between where they are and where they want to go. It impresses me, therefore, that all the figures who appear in the first pages of Luke's gospel are waiting. Zechariah and Elizabeth are waiting. Mary is waiting. Simeon and Anna are waiting. The whole opening scene of the good news is filled with waiting people. And right at the beginning, all those people in some way or another hear the words, "Do not be afraid. I have something good to say to you." These words set the tone and context. Don't worry, I'm not done. There's a couple more slides. Waiting, right? Waiting, as we see it in the people of the opening pages of the gospel, is waiting with a sense of promise. They're waiting actively. Most of us think of waiting as something very passive, a hopeless state determined by events totally out of our hands. The bus is late. You cannot do anything about it, so you just have to sit there and just wait. But there is none of this passivity in Scripture. Those who are waiting very actively. Active waiting means to be present fully to the moment, in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. Waiting is also open-ended. Open-ended waiting is hard for us because we tend to wait for something very concrete, for something specific that we wish for. We want the future to go in a very specific direction. And if this does not happen, we're disappointed. Zechariah, Mary, and Simeon were not filled with wishes, but filled with hope. Hope is something very different. Hope is trusting that something will be fulfilled, but fulfilled according to the promises and not just according to our wishes. Therefore, hope is always open-ended. Just imagine what Mary was actually saying in the words, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let what you have said be done to me." She was saying, "I don't know what this all means, but I trust that good things will happen." One more slide, I think. One more, maybe. It's coming. There it is. The spiritual life is a life in which we wait, actively present to the moment, trusting that new things will happen to us, new things that are far beyond our own imagination, fantasy, or prediction. Something is happening that is worth waiting for. A Jewish writer, Simone Weil, once said, "Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of the spiritual life." We're done with the devotional. We can go home. Really good devotional. And those, actually, that wasn't the whole thing. That was me taking sentences and paragraphs out of just tons of pages and put it together for something for this morning. To me, I think God was speaking to me specifically. And then I was like, oh, maybe this is, God wants me to bring this into the message as well. So hopefully this sermon is for me. Hopefully somebody else gets something out of it too. But there's something about it. There's something worth waiting for. That the Lord wants to do something. And there's this idea of waiting. Sometimes we don't like waiting, right? It says that nobody really likes to wait. And like when the bus is late, you can't do anything about it. But through Scripture, when God gives us promises, when God is doing things in our lives, this spiritual life, it's about waiting. That God, He has perfect timing, but His timing doesn't seem to be my timing. I like things done right away. And God likes things to marinate. God likes things to take time. And so there's things where I feel like God is saying, man, this has been the year of the supernatural. And maybe some of you are still waiting. Well, nothing supernatural happened to me this year. Well, I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't be afraid. The Lord is saying there's something good that's coming. There's something good that's coming. And you know what? As we get into the passage, it might not even happen this December. I'm going to pray that it happens before the end of the year. But there's something that maybe God just wants you to begin to learn how to wait. That's the supernatural. You've been so impatient all your life. This is the year that you actually supernaturally have patience. That you can endure and have this hope and joy and expectation and not grow weary in it. And so that's my prayer. is that we do this. And so I want to look at the at least three examples in the opening scenes of that we just saw there in Luke's gospel. So you can turn to Luke. I'll have the passage up on the slide too. But if you'd like to read it in your own translation, in your own book, you can do that in your own Bible. But we're going to look first at Zechariah. So this is Luke chapter 1. This is the kind of the very beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it says this in verses 13 through 18. This is not the whole thing. I'm taking verses that we can read this morning. It says, "But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God.'" One more slide, I think. "He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." So this is the passage I want us to look at this morning. But what I want us to look at is Zechariah was waiting. He had been waiting for decades and decades and decades, and his promise never came. And can I tell you that I think a little bit, I think he was kind of like Proverbs, I think it's 13:16 that says, hold on, it's coming to me, give me a second. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a tree of life is, a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. But this idea, that first part, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think Zechariah and Elizabeth were in that season. They'd been in a season of actively waiting and hoping and praying on the edge of their seat. Any day we're going to get pregnant. Any day we're going to get pregnant. And as the years went by, they gave up on that hope. They gave up on that dream ever being fulfilled. I mean, it was, to me, it would have to be something supernatural, above and beyond the usual normal for someone very old to still get pregnant. And so it was something that wasn't even in their mind anymore. They weren't even thinking about it. They weren't even hoping for it anymore. And I think there's some of us in this room that maybe might be in those same shoes. There might be things, man, you hoped for a long time ago, and that kind of dream has passed. And God is saying, man, this is the year of the supernatural. This is the year where God wants to say, I want to revive those hopes, those dreams. There's something that can happen that maybe you never thought could happen. This isn't obviously about just you getting pregnant. This is about all kinds of things. This is about things that maybe God spoke to you, maybe at the beginning of the year, and man, it's been a whole year already, and it hasn't happened, so you're giving up. God's saying, don't give up. Zechariah, you know, I was thinking about this. It says that when the angel of the Lord came to Zechariah, it says, the Lord has heard your prayers. I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'm just guessing. I'm inferring to the story. I'm guessing maybe Zechariah hadn't prayed that prayer in 30 years. He hadn't prayed to have a baby. He's like something 90 years old. When he hits 60, he's like, I'm done praying that prayer. Right? 30 years have gone by and he hasn't said that prayer. And the angel of the Lord says, the Lord hears your prayers. See, I love that. Because God still hears the prayers of the past. God doesn't give up. And I was thinking about this, you know. It even brought me encouragement to know I have a friend who his parents passed away years ago. And my friend's kind of in a tough spot right now, in a rough spot of life. And I was brought so much encouragement that my prayers for my friend are not alone. I have the privilege of joining the prayers of his parents who've already passed. But those prayers were prayed decades ago over their son. And I'm believing that those prayers still have power today. That's the testimony of God's word. The angel of the Lord says the Lord hears. Not that he heard 30 years ago. He's still hearing them right now. There's something about prayers that were prayed decades ago that God still hears them actively right now. And I was even encouraged this morning as I got here early and I was praying over today. As I went into the prayer chapel and I saw Pastor Jack and Patty Stiles pictured in there. And I just was encouraged, this little thought, man, I bet there's prayers that they prayed that still haven't been fulfilled yet. There's prayers over this church that are still going to be fulfilled. What an awesome thing. What an awesome truth. There's prayers that you have prayed over your own children. There's prayers that maybe you haven't prayed in a long time that God is still hearing today. They're still echoing throughout his throne room. He hears the prayers of his saints. He doesn't forget any prayer. I just love that encouragement. And that there's this idea, it can be prayers that just seem outlandish, childish dreams. He loves them. He loves hearing those prayers. You know, I was thinking even, I received a prophetic word, I think it was back in January, at another church. And as I listened to it again, there was things that he said. He said, you know what, Pastor, you prayed for things and you preached things your first year becoming a pastor. And God is saying he still wants to fulfill those. And I was like, and when he said that, and I re-listened to that just a couple weeks ago, I'd forgotten the things I prayed for. I'd forgotten the things I preached 7 years ago. And I was actively going, okay, let's go back. Let's roll back the Rolodex. What was I asking? Oh, man, I was praying for some big things I'd forgotten. And God's saying he wants to fulfill those again. And to me, it revived those prayers again. I'm going to keep believing for him. I'm going to pray for him again. And so that's so encouraging to me. I love how God's word, man, this is something, it's just recording a story 2,000 years ago, and it's alive. And it speaks to us today. And that's my prayer is that, like I said, this sermon is for me this morning, but I'm praying that it encourages you, inspires somebody else in this room besides me. I believe the Lord wants to remind someone today that he doesn't grow tired or weary, but that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. No promise is too old to fulfill. Nothing is too difficult for thee. That's who God is. So we'll look at the next one. So this is Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age waiting and somewhat forgetting what they'd been waiting for. Then we look at Mary. And Mary, to me, she's someone who wasn't necessarily asking, didn't really have this promise, but she's being given one right here. So let's look at the passage that we have for Mary and her waiting in this Christmas season. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Love that line. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the passage of someone getting a word from the Lord, a supernatural word from the Lord, a supernatural promise. See, she was planning to get married. She was planning someday to have a child. But this was not her plan. She was not asking to be pregnant before she got married. But God wanted to speak something supernatural into her life. He wanted to give her something, a promise that she wasn't even asking for. And I'm being maybe a little bit bold, but I'm praying that some in this room, God would give us promises we're not even asking for. God's word says that, right? It has not even entered our heart or mind, the things that God has planned and prepared for us. There are promises that God has over your life that has never entered your heart. But I'm praying that this year of the supernatural, God wants to give you these promises that seem crazy, that seem outlandish. So, I mean, think about it. Mary is getting a promise that's never happened before. At this point, there's no biblical precedence for it. Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. Someone back, you know, back in Genesis, someone got pregnant that was a virgin. No, that never happened before. It was something that was outside the box. She didn't have context for it, but it was supernatural. God was speaking to her, and she knew that this was from the Lord. And she said, "Let it be done to me according to what you say. I'm your maidservant. I don't understand it. I don't understand how it's all going to happen, but I'm here. I'm available. I'm yours. Let it be done to me." And I'm praying that we have that same heart, that same attitude. That God, I want your promises. You know what? That's a scary prayer to pray sometimes, to pray. Because the things that God wants for your life are things that are bigger and beyond you. Right? There's things that God wants you to do, things that you can't do in your own strength. That's his desire. That's his promises and plans for your life. He wants to do things that are bigger and more difficult than you could do on your own. That's his whole point. And so that can be a scary prayer. God, I want a fresh new promise. Well, careful what you ask for. He's going to give you a promise that's exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, right? The usual or normal. But I'm praying that God does that. And I love some of the passages in here that Mary, she, like we said, she wasn't expecting this. It was just came out of the blue. But I think, this is my thinking, I think Mary maybe knew she had a little bit of the favor of the Lord. She knew she was following God. She was. It says that she was faithful, that she was part of the remnant of Israel that was waiting for the Messiah. We can read later on that's who Mary was, that she was obedient, that she was pure, all these different things. So we know that she knew the Lord. She had a relationship with Yahweh. And so I think that she understood a little bit that she's part of Israel, God's chosen. There was a little bit of favor that she understood. But there's something about when the angel said, "Behold, highly favored one," that she said, "Whoa, what kind of greeting is this?" She was taken back by the amount of favor that was being spoken over her. Somewhat like, I'll just be real with you, sometimes your pastor says up here, "Well, I'm God's favorite." There's something where I've scratched the surface. I know a little bit about the favor that God has over my life. But the reality is, I don't think there's no way I've comprehended the favor that God has over me. And I think God wants to say that to some of you this morning. Maybe some of you in this room, when you hear me say that, I've said it for several years, I'm God's favorite. Some of you, maybe you've never felt that before. And that can almost be like a little dig into you. But I love this. Mary, at this point, as a young teenage girl, she had really effectively accomplished nothing. She had done nothing to make the record books, right? She had done nothing. But God called her highly favored. It wasn't something she accomplished or earned. It was just who she was, that she was chosen by God. And I think some of you this morning need to hear that. Behold, highly favored one. God is with you. See, like I said, this is a living word. This isn't just something that God was speaking to Mary 2,000 years ago. I believe God is saying that to someone in this room this morning, that you need to receive that. You are highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with you. He's for you, not against you. I love that. I even think about other stories similar. Gideon, right? Gideon not only had not accomplished anything great at this point in his life when he was down, he was hiding in fear. He was like doing the opposite of what he's supposed to be doing. And what does the angel of the Lord come and it says, "Behold, valiant warrior." Valiant warrior. He's like, "You're talking to the wrong guy. Like, I am hiding from all the bad guys. Like, I'm the last person you should call valiant warrior." Like, guess what he says? I'm the least of the tribe of Manasseh. And in that tribe, there's clans. I'm the least clan of all the clans. And in that clan, I'm like the lowest one. I'm a nobody. You picked the wrong one. And God say, "No, you're highly favored. You're a valiant warrior." See, it doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your failures. God is saying you're highly favored. He loves you. He values you. He is with you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. He knows the thoughts he thinks towards you. They're to prosper you. He doesn't want you to wallow in misery, in grief, in pain, in suffering. That's not his plan for your life. Yes, there is a season of going through those things, but he wants to prosper you. He wants you to see that you are highly favored. He wants to give you a promise. Some of you in this room, maybe it's hard to believe that God really has a supernatural plan for your life where you actually are used to bring great fruit in God's kingdom. And God is saying, every single one in this room, you are highly favored of the Lord. He has plans to use you. He is with you. He is for you. I love that. I love that about God's word. All right, so if you don't currently have a promise from God that seems impossible, maybe God wants to give you one. Maybe this is the year you receive a supernatural promise. All right, so let's look at the third one. So look at Mary, now we look at Simeon. And this is now in chapter 2 of Luke. Chapter 2, verse 25, so Jesus has been born. And at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. He was eagerly waiting. I love that. The Holy Spirit was upon him and it revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Amen. I love this story. Because now you have someone who has, it doesn't say in Scripture, maybe he was given the promise the day before. Context doesn't say that. It could have been decades before that Simeon was given this promise. Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah, until you see the salvation of Israel, until you see the Anointed One. And I love that it says that he was eagerly waiting. He was actively waiting. He was going to the temple every day, expecting today to be the day. And he did it every day, maybe for decades. Scripture doesn't say, but I like to believe that. For a long time, he didn't give up hope. In fact, I think his hope was building. Amen. As he got older, he realized, man, the clock is ticking. Like, I'm about to die. Like, I'm getting old. But God promised that I'm going to see the Messiah before I die. Right. So today is probably more possible than 5 years ago. Right. So I'm believing, hope was building. Expectation. He was pregnant with hope. As Mary was pregnant with the baby of Jesus, then he was pregnant with hope. He was believing that today is going to be the day. And that day didn't happen. It didn't matter. The next day, he was even more pregnant with hope. And I'm saying, what would it look like if we were a room full of Simeons? That we just got more and more pregnant with hope. Man, today your word says the day of salvation. Today is the day that my prodigal child is going to get saved. Today is the day that there's this eagerly expecting and is growing day by day. And that's what I think is supernatural, right? That doesn't come natural. Right? Hope deferred in the natural makes your heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. But see, I think that word is true. It's describing the obvious. But I think it's something about the supernatural. I think hope is something that genuine supernatural hope that supersedes the natural laws of physics, natural laws of humanity. I think it says, no, hope can build. You can be pregnant with hope where you get actually more expectant as every day goes by. When you are 3 months pregnant, You're past, right, that season of morning sickness, right? 3 months is kind of like, oh, you're starting to enjoy being pregnant. You're expecting there's this joy of this baby coming. At 9 months pregnant, most moms, at least I know the one in my household, was like, get this baby out of me. Like, I'm ready to get this baby out, right? So there's this expecting, as time goes on, you're wanting this thing to happen more and more. And I'm saying that's what I'm desiring, is that God gives us promises. God gives us these words, and that we're just becoming more and more pregnant. We're not allowing our hearts to grow sick, and this hope is being deferred. No, we're like Simeon. We're saying, man, this is going to be good. This is going to be epic. This is going to be what the Lord desires. And I love this, what I read in the devotional, that it's open-ended. I don't know. I don't know if Simeon was told that he was going to see a baby. Maybe Simeon, in his mind, thought he was going to see a conquering king come and take over Roman Empire and say, oh, I'm going to be alive to see, man, this warrior king come and crush the Roman Empire, and Israel is going to be on the throne again. Ah, that's what he thinks he's going to see. But see, it was open-ended. He was given a promise, you're going to see the Messiah. He didn't know what it was going to look like. And when baby Jesus comes in at 8 days old, this is the Messiah. He wasn't callous and was like, oh man, it's a baby. I'm not going to see him overrule the Roman Empire. No, he was excited because there was this open-ended hope. I don't know what it's going to look like. Like Mary said, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I believe. Come. Your words come, Lord God. Let it be done your way, God. I'm not going to control the situation. See, there's something about, I didn't read it in that devotional. This wishful thinking is something where we control it, right? We want something done our way, and we're wishing for something specific. And God is saying, no, I want to change your wishes into hopes, where they're open-ended. Where God, it's just the desire of your heart. It's not all the specifics laid out. It's saying, God, here's actually the underlying motive of why I'm asking for these things. Why am I asking for these dreams? I mean, I guess I think about it, this Christmas, right? You write down your wish list. I tell my kids, I want to know the specific things they want, right? I want to know the gifts that I can give them for Christmas. But I felt even just a little bit, I can think about a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to be a little more contemplative, and I was thinking about a few things. I felt like the Lord was saying, God, I was asking me, Ryan, what do you want? And as I was journaling, I started writing out some specifics of things I want for my family, for our church, and whatever else. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, okay, that's good, but why do you want that? And I had to go back and rewrite in my journal my underlying motive of the desire, why I want those specifics. And then those specifics became less specific. Okay, God, this is my heart's motive behind that. However you play it out, I won't control the outcome. I want control of how it gets manipulated to get there. God, whatever. But here's my heart's desire. And I love that God says he wants to give us our heart's desire. He doesn't promise to do everything the way we exactly want it. He's not Santa Claus. He doesn't give us the specifics of all the things we want on our wish list. But he does want to give us the desires of our heart. And so I'm just encouraging you, allow time to contemplate, to think, what are the desires of your heart? What are you wanting and saying, okay, I'm okay if it comes in the form of a baby. I'm okay if it comes in the form of a virgin being pregnant that's never happened before. Whatever it looks like, I'm okay. I just want this, God. And maybe you don't even know what it is what you want. And that's what I'm saying. I believe this morning, God maybe wants to give you a desire. And I've shared, I don't know, like I said, this sermon is for me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I've been saying, God, give me desires. Because I feel like I need fresh, supernatural. My desires are kind of too weak and too natural and humanistic. God, I want to think bigger. I want to think eternal. And so give me new desires. And so that's what I'm saying. I think God this morning wants to give some of us new desires. Okay, I'm going to wrap up our message because I think I'm supposed to pray over some of these situations. I believe all of us want to be like Simeon, right? We all want to be full of hope and expect and not grow weary in our well-doing. Let me read to you one more verse. I have another verse from Psalm 27:13-14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love that. It's been quoted a lot this year. But I like this next verse. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Actively waiting, where you're on the edge of your seat and you're expecting something good to happen. And so I think all of us want to be like Simeon. We're willing to wait as long as it takes, and we want to see the goodness of God. We want to be courageous. We all want that. But I think some of us in this room, I want to pray for two specific things, and then we'll pray for all of us, is maybe, take a second. Would you just close your eyes and ask what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to me too.